whether you are new to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is the place for the honest answers to your questions. Naturally Savvy with registered holistic nutritionist Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis on RadioMD.com.
The diet that works best for me is the paleo diet, although I've tweaked it here and there. I do like my lentils and my beans from time to time and my quinoa and some other things. So I am so glad to be joined by Chris Kresser. He is the author of Your Personal Paleo Code. Chris, welcome to Naturally Savvy.
A pleasure to be here.
It's so great to have you on. Now, Chris, you and I have spoken on another show, and I told you all about my loving your book and really enjoying the paleo lifestyle. And what I particularly love about your book is that you show that you can do the paleo, but you can kind of custom tailor it for yourself. Like, for example, I do okay with quinoa, or someone else might do okay with beans. Talk to us about the personal paleo code and how it works.
Sure. So it's a diet, I like to say it's based on the paleo diet, because what I'm recommending in the book is not a strict paleo diet. You begin there because it's the fastest way I've learned in my work with patients to lose weight quickly without effort, to feel better, and to start reversing some chronic disease symptoms. But I think it's unnecessarily strict over the long term, and there's no reason to avoid foods that modern research suggests are healthy when they're well tolerated, like full-fat or fermented dairy products, nightshade plants like potatoes or tomatoes, dark chocolate, even moderate alcohol consumption, and then, as you mentioned, some properly prepared, especially grains and legumes. Because if the research shows that those foods are healthy and if they're not displacing other more nutrient-dense foods, then they can. I don't think there's any reason to completely avoid them.
Yeah, I really agree. You know, that's the one thing with the paleo and some of the other diets, I do find them too strict. And there was one person I was speaking with once about the paleo diet, and I mentioned that I use So Delicious coconut milk, and she said, oh, well, you should just make it from a coconut because that has like xanthan gum or something. And I thought, wow, I'm not, you know, I want to be healthy, but I don't you know what I mean? So I know what you mean about people being
Well, it's actually
strict.
Pretty easy to make it from a coconut. You know what? Funny you say that, Lisa. This weekend, I literally, for the first time, I had my Vitamix. I took literally shredded coconut. I added a couple of cups of water, and I literally made my own coconut milk. It was so easy, right, Chris?
Good.
It is not so easy to do. It is so easy to do.
It is, for sure. And but I think the key point there, which is still valid, is we have to choose our battles. And, you know, different people are going to have different threshold in terms of the amount of time and effort and energy they want to spend with food preparation and just different possibilities, you know, depending on their life circumstances. And we have to focus where we can get the biggest bang for our buck. And that's part of what I teach you how to do in the book.
Oh, I love that.
Well, so, you know, Chris, what are some, you know, I mean, I don't know much about the paleo diet or the paleo. Pronunciation, is it paleo, paleo, or tomato, tomato? What is the actual pronunciation?
It's paleo. Paleo is the typical pronunciation.
Paleo. Okay, great. So, you know, I don't know that much about it, but I do know that, you know, you limit the grains. So talk to us a little bit about the research behind it. I know it has a massive following. Tell us a little bit about the research behind it, why it's so popular, and why it's such a great kind of lifestyle to live.
Sure. So there's actually a tremendous amount of research behind the paleo approach. And that's one of the biggest myths about it is that there's no evidence to support it. But we have archaeological evidence that showed a clear decline in health as our Paleolithic ancestors transitioned from, the paleo diet that they followed to a more agricultural diet where they began to rely on grains as the staple. And we have anthropological research of contemporary hunter-gatherers that continue to follow a traditional paleo diet and lifestyle that show that they were lean and fit and free of inflammatory disease. We have modern clinical trials that have shown really positive and encouraging results with paleo for type 2 diabetes, actually reversal in type 2 diabetes in some cases, really dramatic reductions in weight, waist circumference, fasting blood sugar, fasting insulin, inflammatory markers like C-reactive protein, And then we have modern studies on nutrient density, which is the concentration of vitamins, minerals, and proteins that the body requires to function properly in various foods. And these studies have shown that all forms of meat and fish, and shellfish, vegetables, fruits, full-fat dairy products, nuts and seeds, dark chocolate, herbs and spices are much higher in nutrient density than even whole grains, much less refined grains. In fact, refined grains, which are really a staple now in the U.S. diet, are at the very bottom of the list. They're only above sugar and fat and fats in terms of their.
But what about things like quinoa or millet? Some of the whole, you know, the more
the alternative grains.
Alternative grains, thank you.
Or pseudo grains, as they're sometimes called, because they're not actually grains in many cases. Okay. In many cases, they're different kinds of seeds that aren't actually cereal grains. But they do have a higher concentration of protein in many cases, but they're still
like
not as nutrient dense as organ meats, for example, which happen to be the most nutrient dense food that you can eat.
So I guess my question when it comes to eating organ meat, you're talking about like liver, I'm guessing, you know, some of the meats that I guess I kind of gives when I think about eating it, the thing that goes through my head as a holistic nutritionist is those are the organs, especially the liver, that's the organ that kind of cleanses the body, right? So that's the one thing that I would never think I would want to put into my body. Why are those, in your opinion, something that you think is a healthier option?
Well, because of the nutrient density, as I just mentioned, they contain
so vitamin A, right?
Large amounts of nutrients that are difficult to get elsewhere, vitamin A, choline, some of the B vitamins. But it's true that the liver processes toxins, but it doesn't store them. Toxins are stored in the fat tissue. So
This
is one reason why when we talk about consuming dairy, you know, full-fat dairy products or animal proteins, and animal fat, I really encourage people to buy pasture-raised animal products because, as I mentioned, fat is where toxins like pesticides or other things that might be present in commercially raised meats would be stored. And so when you're eating fattier animal products, it's a good idea to get the pasture-raised meats if possible. I just want to go
back.
That's
a really good point. I love that point. Thank you. You know, because I never really thought of that before about the full fat dairy, right? So thank you for that.
Yeah, it's important. And I wanted to just address your point about grains, too. I argue in the book that, and we started off the show talking about this, that even though grains are lower in nutrient density than the Paleolithic foods, the health problems that came from eating grains for our agricultural ancestors were due to the fact that they were heavily relying on grains as a staple. That meant that, you know, they went from eating a very diverse diet with lots of meat and fish and nuts and seeds and vegetables and fruit to primarily relying on wheat, corn, and rice as the staple of their diet. And that is definitely problematic. But if you're eating a diet that's overall very nutrient dense with all the foods that I just mentioned, and you want to include occasional grains or legumes, and especially when they're soaked or fermented to make their nutrients more absorbable, there's no reason not to do that if you want to.
No, it's definitely food for thought. Haha, no pun intended. Sorry, I had to go for it. I had to go for it. Chris, it was a pleasure having you today. And, you know, I would like to learn more about paleo, and I find it definitely interesting. And being a nutritionist, it's something I haven't tried myself, but I'm always open to new ways of eating. So I appreciate you being on the show today. We both appreciate you being on the show.
Yeah, thanks,
Chris. I'm Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening and stay well.